Hello, everybody. This is Kate Beaters, and I am speaking to you on behalf of the Forever Cali Project, which you can find all sorts of other interviews and free resources at forever-cali.com, which I put together in honor of my almost 17-year-old Cairn Terrier, Cali, who is my heart outside my body and just the total love of my life. And I am so excited to be here with Barbara Allen today, because Barbara is just such a wonderful resource, and one of the reasons I really wanted to talk to her and have her share her information with all of you is that, you know, many of you, like me, you know, at some point, you know, may be looking for another dog, and it, like me, it may have been quite a long time since you got your last dog, and all of a sudden it's like, ah, you know, the head starts spinning around, like, how do I do all this? So Barbara graciously agreed to spend a few minutes with us and share some of her wisdom, and we're going to start off, and Barbara is the is with the Cairn Terrier Organization in America, and so I've asked Barbara, first of all, how are you? Say hello.
Hello, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So, Barbara, can you just tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved with breeding so people can kind of get to know you a little bit better?
Okay. Well, I live in Olive Branch, Mississippi, which is just 3 miles over the state line from Memphis, Tennessee. And I had a Scotty, and just a pet Scotty, and I wasn't happy with the way he was being groomed. So I saw a new groomer in town, and I just stopped by after work one day to check her out, and I happened to notice all these pictures on the walls with all her show wins. She was a professional handler at one time, and she showed all these dogs. Well, I could hardly talk to her for looking at the dog pictures. Mm-hmm. She told me that she was going to have a show that weekend at the fairgrounds, and if I wanted to come, she'd show me around. Well, I did. I went, and I got bit in the butt. I thought, I have got to do this, let me tell you. So I started showing my dog. I actually started showing a little long-coated Chihuahua. And then a year later, I got a Cairn Terrier. So I showed both of them. And it surprised me. I mean, that's how little I knew about showing. People that show their dogs, you are not supposed to, but what they do is they breed them because the whole idea is to improve the stock, as they used to say. If you have a dog and the dog is mediocre, what they're telling you is to get a girl that is the best girl you can get and breed it to the best boy you can get. And therefore, you should improve the breeding. Every breeding you do, you want to improve it. So anyway, I started showing, and then, you know, my girl, it was time to breed her. People used to breed them about between 2 and 3, and so I did, and that's how I got into it. I know it was a long tale, but that's how I got started.
That's really fascinating because, you know, I know from talking to the breeders, you know, everybody's been breeding that I ran into for quite a while. So you can tell mm-hmm. they're really doing so much out of love and passion. And what I'd like you to kind of share with us is that, and I know, you know, there are people who, you know, want to either rescue a dog and or go to a shelter or something like that. So this is not to convince you not to do that. This interview really is for people who decided the option that they choose is to go through a breeder. So, you know, there are so many breeders out there. There's also, you can go find websites. There's this, there's that, all those kinds of things. So, Barbara, what should people be looking at, if they want to get a dog, what are things they should be looking at to find out if it's a reputable breeder? What's important to know?
Well, what we usually say is if you go someplace and they've got 4 or 5 different breeds, that's probably a puppy mill. And all they do is crank out litters all the time. most of the people in the club that I belong to, the Care Interior Club of America, we have our puppies in our homes. We stay up all night birthing them. We stay in the bedroom and sleep in a chair for 2 weeks to make sure they're okay. And we just do the best we can with those babies. Now, what we in our club, we like to do some health testing. And it's not mandatory, but it is suggested. And I've got a list of those tests that we usually suggest right here that when people ask me.
Mm-hmm.
We do bile acids, liver, we check their liver shunt, and we do the kidney levels. And then we try to have a normal ultrasound of the kidneys. Now, a lot of times at dog shows, they have people, an ophthalmologist come, and they will check them for renal dysplasia. And then if you're going to be breeding, they want the GCL clear. Now, that's what we do. It would be nice to have normal bile acids, because that is, if you have a puppy with abnormal bile acids, that puppy may not live unless it has surgery. So that's important. But it is so easy to check. And then we check to see if they've got two kidneys, if they're of normal size. And the surfing, that's the eyes. That's what they mm-hmm. do. So, you know, and GCL is a blood test. But that's if you're breeding, you know. There's all kind of tests that you can do, and they're expensive. But when we over the last, I don't know how many years, we just decided that we want to place the best puppies, that the healthiest puppies that we can with our puppy buyers. And so those are the main ones that we decided to do in our club. Now, my guess is most backyard breeders don't do that. They do cost, and they're not cheap, but we have to pass that on to the buyers, and, you know, the price of the dog goes up a little bit. So,
yeah,
did that answer your question?
You know, it really does, and I was, you know, thinking that, you know, so when I got Callie, at the time this interview is being recorded, it was like 17 mm-hmm. years ago. And
they didn't do that then.
Exactly. A lot of these mm-hmm. medical tests didn't exist, and I think that's, mm-hmm. you know, I think what is so important for somebody who is getting a new puppy is mm-hmm. to understand, no matter what the breed is, to understand that, you know, the veterinary community is getting more sophisticated. They are doing these tests. They're even, like, you know, just like how we've got the DNA test for people,
mm-hmm.
they've got DNA tests for dogs.
Oh,
and,
yes, they do. They
sure do. Yeah, and you can just really avoid a whole lot of heartache by knowing some of this. But also, if you have a breeder who is paying attention to what is going on with, you know, that specific breed's health issues, that just
mm-hmm.
puts you, I mean, not that it promises you your dog will never, ever get sick. It's nothing.
Oh,
like that.
Absolutely. There's some things there's no way
exactly.
you would ever know or be able to prevent.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like in people. Who knows you're going to get cancer? Who knows you're going to, you know, get go whatever? You know, you don't know.
Exactly, but it just makes you that much more aware, and at least you're eliminating some things. Callie
mm-hmm.
was born with a very rare disease that runs in Cairns, CMO, which is often
mm-hmm.
called, you know, lion's jaw or lion's head,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we weren't sure if she was going to make it. I mean, the first year was very frightening, and now they, you know, they can test for that. So
mm-hmm. they sure can.
Exactly. So the reason I'm just kind of making a point of that is that, you know, for anybody who is out talking to a breeder, find out, are they doing the testing on all these things, you know,
mm-hmm.
and what things are important, you know, maybe certain
well,
things are
so
more important.
So that's the number one thing. Ask them if they've done any health testing on their
yep.
puppies.
Yep.
And, you know, if you go through a breed club. In other words, we are called the Karen Terrier Club of America. My guess is most of them are along those lines. The, you know, German Schnauzer Club of America and all that.
Yeah, exactly.
But I call those reputable breeders. And that's not saying that there's not reputable backyard breeders. I'm not saying that. But we have found some that are not.
Well, exactly. So that's probably also part of it, too, is that if a person can, they should go to the breeder's place.
Oh, absolutely.
And check it out and see, is it clean? You know, what else would they be looking for?
Look for a puppy. Puppies should be playful. If you see one over there that's cowering, that would not be one I would choose. Look at their little eyes. Do they have a lot of matter in them? Let me think. Are they playing with the other puppies? You do want them to do that. Are they real thin? Do they, you know, puppies are usually chunky. You want them, you know, you want them to eat. That's good for them. They should be energetic. You know, most puppies are just naughty little things. They just play with their brothers and sisters and gnaw on their legs and bite their tails and whatever.
I know. They like to play.
Did I answer that question?
No, very, very well. And I'm just wondering, can you tell if somebody went to see a litter of puppies, can they tell the personality, or do all the puppies kind of have a mushed-in personality, and not till they get home do you really know?
Well, most breeders don't have them come when they're itty-bitty puppies.
Okay.
When little bitty puppies have no personality. All they do is drink mama's milk and poo and tee-tee, and that's it.
Okay.
That is it. But then when they get to be about 3 weeks old, their little eyes pop open and their ears open up, because they are blind and deaf when they're born. And so when their eyes and ears are open, then what I do is I train them to a litter pan, dog litter. And the minute they get their eyes open, you know how you used to take a little doll and you would walk her over here and walk her over there? Well, I take the puppy and I put a towel between the litter box and their puppy pen. And I just sort of walk them over there, but you have to sit and watch them. The minute they get their eyes open, you do that, because that's the first thing they're going to do is pee. So you put them in the box and they pee, and then you walk them back. And when I was working, I started doing that on a Friday night. And by Monday morning, they were walking over there to do their business.
Oh, wow.
Now, I mean, they're smart. They really are. That doesn't mean they don't miss it sometimes. By the time on Friday night when they're staggering, they're much more proficient walking by Monday. And they've learned it. That's what they've been taught. That's what they know to do.
So if let's say if someone visits the puppies at 6 weeks or 8 weeks, something like that, can they tell the personality or not really? Are they all kind of the same?
No, they're not all the same. Not at 6 weeks at all. You probably could tell if this one is the bully or if that one is the shy one. You probably could tell at 6 weeks. But you understand most breeders don't place their puppies at 6 or 8 weeks. They usually wait till 3 months, which is 12 weeks.
Yep.
That's just, the mama dog has a lot to teach them. And it's a good thing. Now, it might drive the owner crazy, because of all the work you have to do, those little stinkers. But it's pleasant. You know, I would sit every night. I'd get my puppies one at a time out and hold them in my lap for 15 minutes because I just felt like they needed to know that contact, that human contact.
Mm-hmm.
And let them chew on my fingers. And then when they get little teeth, about 6 weeks, then you grab a toy to put in your lap so they can chew on that. So, that's what I do. Anyway.
And I can tell you're doing that with so much love. And I was wondering, because you and I talked about this just briefly, so let's just talk about price. I just kind of have to preface this that I guess to me it seems so weird to have a price on a, like to talk about selling a dog. And I'm just saying that because to me they're a family member, and it's like not that you expect to be given it, but it just sounds so funny to say like you're selling a dog. But so I just kind of wanted to say
we don't say selling. We say we are placing a dog.
Okay.
Forever home.
That sounds so much better. Okay.
Yes,
but,
it does. But, it really does.
But people are having a bit of sticker shock, you know, especially.
Well, rightly so.
Yeah.
And I'll explain that, too. When I first got in it, let me think. I placed a dog for $900. And I mean, that was not making any money at all, period, the end. And I'll tell that tale in a minute. But it has gone up so much. But most people that are calling me when they want a puppy, they say, my dog just passed away. She was 10 or she was 14 or she was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And I only paid $300 or $400 for her. And now you want $3,000? The only thing I can say is, you know, houses have gone up since then, cars have gone up since then, puppies have gone up since then. And with the health testing that we were talking about, that is part of the reason it's gone up.
And the health testing is important. It's super
important. It's important, but it's also expensive. And everybody, let's get real, everybody cannot afford that. I mean, if you really think of it, it's the best thing, but some people do the best they can with what they've got.
Exactly.
And if you want these tests done and your breeder didn't do them, you can take them to the vet and have them done yourself. You know, just say, I would like the bile acids done, or I'd like to make sure the kidneys are fine. And they would be more than happy to do that.
Yep.
So it doesn't have to be done by the breeder. And a lot of the tests, like the bile acids, there's a certain time. Some people place them earlier than it's time to do that. You know?
Yep.
So.
Yep. And, because I think it's at least for the Karen Terriers, it's 12 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so if some people say, you know, I can't make it, and they keep them a little longer, they can do that. But most of the time, we try to do it in our club.
Yep.
But that's all I know about is our club.
Yep. You were gonna tell us a tale
about what was I talking about? I know that's a different tale. What was I going to say?
Shoot. And now I don't
right.
remember.
You got to keep me on task here.
I'll just have to have you come back and do a second interview. But, Barbara, this is all so helpful because, like I said, it has changed a lot, you know, even over the last 10 years. And I just think it's important for a person at least to understand this, and then they can make the decisions as to what's really important to them. And
that's right, because it's not important to some person that's never had a dog that's been ill.
No,
more than
no.
likely.
Exactly.
But, and you know. But anyway, well,
exactly, because with Callie, you know, I just, all I, and I'll be really honest here, and I've said this to you, Barbara, all I really cared is that, you know, she didn't shed, and she was cute, and she, you know, yeah, it didn't, I didn't, never even thought about asking that stuff.
That's right, that's right.
You know, so.
Well, but back then, people didn't, they didn't know to ask those things.
Yep, yep.
They really didn't. We're getting, you know, you hear more on TV, and you hear people talking now, we're getting a little bit more savvy, I think.
I agree. I agree. And then it does give people choices. You know, there's so many different choices of what people want to do, or and people can make the best decision that works best for them and their family or
That's
their lifestyle.
That's right. And it's not anything to be ashamed about. If you can't do that, you just do the best you can.
Exactly.
Because everybody, you know, has different funds. I guess I should say.
Exactly, and everybody has different lifestyles and different ways they take care of things and take care of themselves. And, you know, I think that's part of it, too, that people go through different phases in life where different things are important. And
Absolutely.
And so, Barbara, you've given us such really, really great information, which is so helpful.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You were so helpful to me as you know, in my search, and I know you're helpful to so many others. And I'm just, again, I'm just so appreciative that that you were willing to give up some of your time today to do this. So is there anything else you want to say? Oh, and also a shout out. I just want to say Barbara has her pop shooter just came back from a whirlwind European tour where he's winning all sorts of awards and prizes, and he's a very handsome devil. So
thank you. He's a champion in 8 different countries now.
Wow,
country.
Very impressive. Yeah, that's very, 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 very impressive.
Thank you.
So, if he wasn't a dog, if he was a human, I would date him, right? So.
All right, absolutely. I'd set you up.
Anyway, just a little silly humor from somebody who's on allergy medicine. So apologies if that sounds kind of silly and goofy. But anyways, Barbara, thank you so much for doing this.
You're welcome. Talk.